No, I do have a life goal any time of the year to not turn down any kind of Mexican food.
Welcome to the Christ United Quarantine Podcast, the show where we get advice, guidance, and inspiration just to help us make it through this one day at a time. I'm your host, Ashley Danner, digital content manager here at the church, and a lifelong student who's just really excited to make a new friend today. And in today's conversation, I get to sit down digitally with Reverend Paul Maletic, our newest associate pastor here at Christ United and my newest coworker. Today, we are going to get a chance to just get to know each other a little bit, chat about youth and his new area of ministry at Christ, and what that's been like during this time of social distancing. We hope that this discussion will make you all feel a little more connected and encouraged as we head into another week of our new normal. Paul, I haven't met you in person yet, but welcome and hello. I'm so glad to have you with me today.
Thank you. It's good to be here digitally and I'm excited just to jump in and get to know the church here. And it's been fun.
No kidding. I mean, Paul's been here like 5 minutes and I sent him an email and asked him to be on the podcast and he just jumped right in. So we know he's a good one. So as I bring new guests onto the show, I always ask them the same question. So during time of quarantine and now social distancing, did you pick up any new hobbies, any new fascinations, any strange books that you'd like to share?
I guess the thing I probably have done most different, besides obviously the journeys of just what does work at home and especially transition in the midst of this space look like. But me and my wife have found ourselves doing more backyard landscaping than we have. The backyard was pretty non-existent. And so we've done everything from pull-up beds that were pretty junky, mess with our fence, do some painting outside. It's getting a little hotter, though, so now we're kind of like struggling to get everything done.
Right.
Between that, the other thing is just we found ourselves playing lots of board games together in the midst of this.
That's awesome. Have you been to Friend or Foe yet?
I have not been there, but I know exactly where it is.
For listeners out there, there's a board game cafe in Plano called Friend or Foe. They serve food and drinks and have like hundreds of board games that you can get out and use while you're there.
Yeah, me and my wife are planning at some point to do a night, gonna check it out.
They're nice
folks.
All the
crazy happened, yeah.
I know. I can't imagine how hard it was to be a board game cafe during all of this. So I'm excited to get the chance to sit down and hear your story, Paul. This situation kind of allows for some special time to set aside and get to know you in the midst of work. You know, everything's moving just a little bit slower. We're sitting down just a little longer. So tell me a little about yourself, your family, where you grew up, all those good bits.
Sure. I grew up here in the Metroplex, grew up in Irving. I lived there all of my childhood life with my parents. I have a younger sister. And then I journeyed off, you know, out of the Metroplex, went down to Southwestern University in Georgetown to do undergrad work down there. Mm-hmm. It's a little tiny liberal arts school, which was a good place for me to, you know, often it takes a while to figure yourself out sometimes. But I went from there. I came back up here to Dallas, as it turns out, and I started seminary. I went to SMU, the Perkins School of Theology there, where I got a Master of Divinity. And while I was there, I was doing kind of my first big youth work. I'd worked some internships before in summers while I was in college. But while I was in seminary, I worked at Walnut Hill United Methodist and got a chance to love on the students there and for that congregation to love on me and as I was figuring out what youth ministry was all about. And then when I graduated seminary, I went from there and was looking for a full-time job in ministry, in youth ministry, and found the congregation of First United Methodist in Rockwall, where I've been serving the last 12 years. About a year ago, I got married. My wife's name is Courtney Maletic, And we actually got married here at this church, which is kind of crazy. And so from that, my wife was working here in Plano. So we moved to East Plano, and I was still going to Rockwall. We don't have kids. We have one cat named Minx and a tank full of unnamed fish. So,
oh, that's awesome. I have a cat too. And I've been married a year as well.
Oh, exciting.
Yay, us. That's awesome. Well, that's exciting. I'll be excited to meet Courtney. So, random question. What's your favorite hot weather food? And what's your favorite cold weather food? And then what's your favorite snack?
It's tricky. I know I don't often distinguish whether it's hot or cold, whether I will eat anything, really. I mean, I'm not really much picky, but let's see. I guess hot weather, I guess I have the image of just like a burger outside for a picnic. Mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe just because we haven't had that kind of stuff.
Right. I know.
I guess cold weather, me and my wife always enjoy doing sushi. Even though I do have a life goal any time of the year to not turn down any kind of Mexican food. That's it's a strong awesome. Contender and all of that. And then snack. Often we enjoy doing homemade hummus.
Oh, it's yum. Fun. That's awesome. So you've got a food processor.
Yes.
Oh, great. Yeah. You make pesto ever?
Yeah, we actually just did some pesto.
Oh, I love pesto. I wish pine nuts weren't so expensive, but man, I love pesto. So tell me a little bit about your story. How did you get into youth ministry? What led you specifically into ministry with youth and family?
So I grew up very active in my home church. It was the First United Methodist Church of Irving. And growing up, I don't know how many other folks out there, it was just what we did on Sundays. It was, right. You know, I had to do my chores, had to make sure I got my homework done, and we went to church on Sundays. Mm-hmm. But especially as I got plugged in to the youth group there, really was the space for my faith to become my own. It wasn't just my parents' thing or what we did on Sundays, but through the fellowship there, through the group, through the mentors, through the youth workers there, and the camps and all, you know, all the things from choir tours to mystery trips, all sorts of things like that, helped me figure myself out slowly and surely, and then obviously connect with others and connect with God. Mm. As I got out of there and was going to school and thinking, okay, God, what on earth do you have for me to do? What is there? The idea of doing youth ministry for me kind of felt like this like idea in the back of my head, like, could I do that? Would I be any good at that? You know, can I make a living doing that? Yeah, mm-hmm. Things like that. And while I was in college, I decided just to jump in trial by fire, and I found an internship in the middle of nowhere in East Texas. I guess the rest is history. That's a story also for another time, probably.
Sure.
And then I was excited as just, you know, I've always heard of and known Christ United as a great church here in our conference. I've, you know, as a clergy person, I've attended so many different meetings here over mm-hmm. the years. But after moving to East Plano, when Chris called me, I definitely was like, hey, I need to check this out. Let's see about the possibilities here. And just excited for just what seems like a great church and a great history of serving and loving youth, as well as connecting youth through the life of the church. So I'm excited.
Oh, that's awesome. We're excited to have you too as part of our program, but and our youth group. They're a fun bunch. So this is the part of the show where we take a quick break and we tell a fun fact for our audience. And so, of course, today I chose a youth group themed fun fact. First of all, Paul, have you ever gotten to play Gaga Ball?
Yes. Okay. Quite often.
I figured you had, but I found out last night that my husband, who grew up going to Christ United and being in the youth group and all this jazz, never played Gaga Ball. Had no idea what I was talking about. Gaga Ball is a fun youth group activity or camp activity. It's a game made up of some kind of shoulder high, if you're a youth, gates in a circle with a dodgeball, kind of bouncy ball in the middle that you bounce back and forth with your hands, and you try to tag the other person out without touching the ball with your feet. Very fun. You can climb on the rails to get out of the way, all that fun stuff. Well, so I've played this most of my youth, for sure. Got some fun bruises to show from it. But what I didn't know is where Gaga Ball comes from. Fun fact, Gaga Ball is originally from Israel, which I just thought was super neat. Apparently, it's a game that originates from that area of the world and then made its way to Australia in the 50s and 60s, where it became really big all the way into the 80s, and then showed up in America via Israeli camp counselors at different Jewish summer camps. Starting in around the 1960s is when people started recording it and having competitions and different things like that. And apparently Gaga means touch, touch in Hebrew. And that's my fun fact. So, Paul, what was youth ministry like as you wrapped up your last position and are making your way here during this crazy period of time? And as you've kind of started to wrap your mind around what youth ministry is going to look like, what have you noticed? And maybe what are some positive and negative things about it that have surprised you or anything like that? I'm just interested on your perspective of what that particular ministry, you know, how it expresses itself during a quarantine time.
It definitely has been, I'd say, a unique time to do any kind of ministry, but especially, I'd say, ministry with children or youth. And just when you get so used to doing programming and then to a space where programming can't be physically connected, it's so, so different. Obviously, it's great to be able to press into some of the wonderful technologies, even right this podcast, Zoom, other things like that, to be able to do ministry in unique ways. But I know a negative, I think, in the midst is definitely Zoom fatigue. I know, I mean, many adults I've talked to, I know there's times I'm like, I don't want to be in front of another screen. But it's something different, I think, even for students, especially maybe middle school, younger students, elementary. You know, our identity is wrapped up in image so much, and seeing yourself on screen or not seeing being on screen. It's, you know, it's so different. And I know our youth are experiencing that fatigue. And obviously my hope is that our programming for the rest of the summer till things slowly unpeel, kind of hopefully can be worth it in the midst and not feel like just one more thing.
Absolutely. I mean, I know that even my adult Zoom groups have struggled just because, you know, you've got this Zoom for this work and this Zoom for this school and this Zoom for that. And, you know, eventually you want to turn the computer off, which I don't think is something I would have told you before quarantine, to be completely honest.
Yeah, and that's what excites me, actually, in this space. I think often people are making, it's not just like, oh, the bad excuses that I don't want to join youth group Zoom call tonight, but like, oh, I'm going to hang out with my family because we're actually doing something here live, which is a great thing. And so my hope in the midst of this, especially for, I mean, we think of our children, our youth, our, you know, digital natives, and all they've known is the internet and how we interact, but to have this space where I think we are kind of reminded of what it means to be physically connected in a space, in a room. I'm excited for hopefully how we do that coming out of this space.
Yeah, to that point, I mean, how do you see this sort of relearning of this sort of thing changing the trajectory of youth ministry for the future? Do you think this will be a blip, or do you think it will be a curve towards something different?
No, I think there'll be much we learn in this space. I know, you know, as a pastor, as a minister, working with youth, working with students, there's always that awareness of, you know, the folks on the fringes, And I think a lot of how we're reacting, we're actually having to think of others, like everyone else in the midst of this is why we can't be together, because we don't want these margins to be exposed or even larger than that.
Mm-hmm.
And so my hope is that we will remember, how do we help continue to think about those people that might be hesitant of jumping into a large group, or, you know, maybe have a medical reason that being in a large group in this space might not work. And so how do we work through all of our means, through technology, through just intentionality, openness, to kind of help bring them in? It's my hope is that this is something that we will learn from in the midst of this.
Mm-hmm. I completely resonate with that from the social media side of this experience, and that it really has, you know, even though it's closed doors during this time, it has opened so many more windows than I was aware of. So many people who have been so willing to jump in and try something new. And people who have been, either because of work or because of busyness or what have you, who haven't been able to be high participators in just church life in general, are back and are, with the less amount of time for commitment of getting there or being in town or what have you, are with us. And I know that we're definitely so excited about that and continuing to make ways for that to be something that continues to lower that threshold so that people can feel connected and excited to be a part of the church. I'm so glad that that's going to be a part of the youth group too. That's great. So what are you most excited for the coming year? I mean, like, is there a particular event or a particular time or moment or service or whatever that you really feel like is going to show you what this year has for you?
Well, obviously that's tricky. I was gearing up to jump into what would have been like a full-on youth ministry summer and all the great traditions. And so I don't know. I haven't really thought about a single event.
Sure.
But I think, I mean, this is going to sound maybe a little hokey, but just really getting to know the great people here at the church, the great, you know, I'm just starting to get to know some of the great volunteers in our youth ministry. But even beyond that, I know, you know, a church like this doesn't just happen by accident, but it takes all the people that are a part and own, you know, our ministry together. And I'm just excited to get to know the folks.
Well, I'm really excited to meet you and get to know you better as well. So I know that you are preaching soon, right? Is that true? Isn't that coming up at some point here?
Yes, I'm excited. I have a couple different chances to preach here pretty soon. I'm sure it'll still be digitally and distance, or who knows. But I know I get to preach the last two Sundays in June in the Table of Grace. I'm excited. I'm just first week here, I'm getting my bearings on what that preaching will be. But I'm looking at using the story of Jacob and Esau and kind of looking at, you know, what are the things that we cling to? And I think especially in this space, just even like you were saying in your opening question, the changing rhythms, but what are the things that we hold to in this space?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm excited in July, I think it's the last week, I'll get to help be a part of a summer blockbuster movie series we're doing.
Yes.
So I'm excited.
Oh, that's going to be so much fun. I've gotten to work on some of that stuff in preparation, and it's going to be good. All right. Well, Paul, thank you so much for sharing some of your time with me and all of us. I'm so happy to get to just get to chat with you today and then share a little bit of you with our listeners. And for all of you who are out there who might want to ask him a follow-up question or inquire how to get more connected in the youth group or at church, you can email Paul at his new church email, paul@cumc.com, and he'll get you an answer or either connect you with someone who can. Paul, thanks so much.
Oh, no problem. I'm excited to be part of the time here, and just awesome way to hopefully get to know folks. And I'd more than welcome any folks that want to reach out, email, Facebook, or even social, schedule a socially distanced kind of Wave or Connect or 20 questions, whatever.
That sounds awesome. Well, I hope all of you out there remember to take it one day at a time, to lean on God every time you can, and show yourself a little love and grace too. We love you. Talk soon.